Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles. We'll actually read a couple verses here. We're going to read the Great Commission here. Let's pray. Father, help us now, I pray. Lord Jesus, please speak to our souls. In your precious name we pray. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. You've been so good to us. All this in heaven, too. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, I like that verse right there. I like that verse because when he called his church, when he called out that assembly, and when he baptized them, or when John the Baptist baptized them, and they were called out assembly right there, and he instituted the local church. At this point, it was already, and then he commissions his local church. He says, all power is given unto me. Amen. In heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, you don't have to turn there, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I use those two verses, those two sets of verses there. The title of this message is Hindrances to Church Planting Part 4. Complex or Pragmatic Design for the local church. A complex or pragmatic design for the local church. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. He says that Paul feared that they would leave the simplicity that was in Christ Jesus. Now, in the past, we've looked into hindrances to church planting. In the other three lessons, we saw how the desire to own property is a hindrance to church planting. Many people are stuck in the mindset that the church needs a building to call themselves a real church. That's not the case, folks. We don't need a building. We don't need brick and mortar to be a local church. Amen? The Bible says, and Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Amen? That's why it matters what goes on in the local assembly. Amen. It matters what happens. It matters what happens in the body of Christ. It matters how you do things. Amen. So they're indebted. Many churches get indebted. They cannot take care of their pastor, or they cannot start other churches because they're strapped with debt. They've invested more into buildings than the gospel directly in reproducing churches. Amen. This materialism is nothing more than a sign of Laodicean church, of a Laodicean church. They had their bodies, their bucks, and their buildings, and they needed nothing else, but did not have the power of God. Then we looked at other issues in the local church and other issues that are hindrances to church planting that hinder the work of the Lord. Now we come to part four, a complex or pragmatic design for the body is a hindrance. Amen? It is a hindrance to the local church and to church planting. Again, I'm not preaching this to condemn others, but for you to understand, to chart a course for the future. I don't have time to worry about what other churches are doing. I'm just telling you what the common flow has been and what we need to do and make sure that we always keep in mind. And never forget. Paul said, told Timothy to always put them in remembrance. Amen? To put them into remembrance. You know what that means? That means go over it again, preacher. Go over it again because they need to hear it again. Put it in their remembrance. Make them remember this. Continue to drill this into them so they understand it. Now, first of all, a pragmatic design or catering to the flesh will hinder church planting. A catering to the flesh will hinder church planting or a pragmatic design for the local church. Many times when we start a church, the preacher believes he must have everything that the sending church has in order to validate the ministry. Never in Scripture does it say that we have to have a piano player, or a piano for that matter. But you and I, out of our flesh would cringe at the fact of having a service without a piano sometimes. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. Because we grew up in churches with pianos, so we say, is there anything wrong with the piano? No, I'm not saying there is. What I'm saying is we would still have it, we would still be a church, we would still be able to conduct the preaching of God's Word, we would still be able to assemble together without a piano, or without a piano player. I did it many times when we first got started. I had people that were supposed to be faithful to the house of God, and they were not faithful to the house of God. They wouldn't even show up. They'd call me an hour and a half into the service and say, I'm sorry, I overslept. Overslept? I couldn't even imagine it from that standpoint. How you were supposed to be somewhere like that and overslept. They did it time and time and time and time and time and time again. Not just one mistake. Then they just wouldn't show up, wouldn't call, nothing. Finally they left. Oh well. Amen. They didn't want to be here in the first place. If they did, they'd have been faithful. Amen. Why are we so scared to say that? We're so scared to think that. Why? Because you've been taught a pragmatic design, and I've been taught a pragmatic design where, hey, listen, we got to make everybody comfortable in the house of God. No, you're not here to be comfortable. You're here to be uncomfortable. You're here so this word will drill inside of your heart. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing you, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Amen. That Bible's supposed to get into you. That preaching's supposed to get into you and cut all that wickedness out of you. Amen. It's not so you feel comfortable. By the way, I've never felt comfortable under good Bible preaching. I've always felt convicted. There's too many people today trying to be comfortable. That's a pragmatic design. So the churches, they design their body after that. I sure hope I pushed the right button over there. Because I want this recorded. Listen, folks, we'd still be a church without a piano player. Now, we're blessed with piano players here, and that's a blessing. But I remember when we first got started, I remember one faithful lady came. I remember she was an older lady. Mrs. Hoffman came, and she was always faithful. Remember Mrs. Hoffman? Always faithful. They're back in Rosemont now, but always, I mean, she was the most faithful lady. Even stuck around here in the winter after they go back and just stayed as long as they possibly could. Never wanted to leave, you know, they were very faithful people to help us. That's right. Gave Richard a ride. Her and her husband gave Richard a ride here. Brother Harold, he's a good man. He's doing well. I talk to him every once in a while. But good people, good loving people. But you know what? If we didn't have that, we'd still be a church. Amen. We need to lose the mindset that if we don't have something in our assembly, that it's not good enough or it's not. We need to be content. Amen. But many times the church is to be some attraction to the lost. And that's a hindrance to church planting, by the way. Because when you get started with a church, you think that everybody's going to come and they're just going to storm the doors and they're going to pop right in and everybody's going to want to hear you. Well, that's not the case. You figure that out after the first couple months. That they don't want to hear from you. And they don't like what you have to say. They're not supposed to. Amen? But a pragmatic design will hinder that church planting. Because why? Because you'll get discouraged. Because you'll think this is the way it has to be. This is the way it should be. Why? Why should it be that way? But that's what we think. Understand again, I say this every once in a while to you, more often than not, I say to you that the church is the saved. And we need to understand that. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify the body. Who's the body? The saved believers in Christ Jesus that have assembled together, that have been baptized. Amen? That's what the church is for. That's who the church is. So when someone comes in that's lost, they ought to wonder what's going on here. Yes, they ought to hear the Bible preached. It ought to convict their hearts. Amen? But when you first get started, you believe what's been preached to you like it's the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. No, no, that's not always true. Amen? That's not always true at all. Just because you have a building or a piano player or a song leader does not mean that they will come. But a man will get awfully discouraged if he believes a church has to have a song leader or a piano player or a Sunday school teacher. Many times, even before Lee started leading songs, I stood up here and was just like, oh man, here we go. Oh, this is bad. And I would do it. It was terrible. And I would do it, but you know what? We were still a church, amen? And technically speaking, we didn't have to have a song leader. We could have just all sang together. Amen? Could just all sing together if we had to. And we did sometimes. Amen. But a man will get awfully discouraged if he believes he has to have a song leader, a piano player, or a bunch of Sunday school teachers to validate the ministry. We have people that will come in and say, hey, do you have a youth department? Do you have a junior church? Do you have all these Sunday school classes? No, we don't. And we would also, it would make us feel, we have one class right now that is an optional class for people if they would like to participate. But you know, it's interesting to me that people will come in and they will look at you and they will say this. Well, you don't have a youth department and we're looking for a youth department. Why? I used to hang my head in shame and feel bad and feel like, man, we're just failing people. No, we're not failing people. They ought to be in here under the preaching of God's Word. What do you need somebody that's 14 years old for going into a junior church? What are we supposed to babysit your children for? Amen? I'm the pastor, not their father. Amen? You know, church is probably, the assembly is probably one of the only times that family even sits together for the week. In many cases. I mean, it should be more than that, but many times that's probably the way that it is. Because of Sunday, now we slow down. And we take time. Nowhere, the reason I read you the Great Commission verses is because nowhere in the Great Commission does it say I'm supposed to have a fantastically huge youth department to entertain children. It says, go ye therefore into all the world, we're to preach the gospel to every creature, we're to baptize them, disciple them in the faith, and guess what, Dad? You're supposed to lead your family. Amen? Because I'm not going to. And I do my best not to trample on any of your authority at all. Amen? But to stay as far away from that as I possibly can. Why? Because it's your responsibility. By the way, fathers and mothers, it's your responsibility to teach the Bible to your children. But see, we developed, so the Sunday school class came out of an evolutionary idea, by the way. And anyway, you can study that out yourself. It came out, now is every Sunday school class wicked? No, it's not. Don't go home and think, well, Pastor Cooley's saying that everybody that has a Sunday school believes in evolution. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that was the root of it, the thought process of it. Many of my brothers and sisters, and we have one class here, and many of my brothers and sisters, brothers in Christ that have churches across the country have those classes. I was just at one. Brother Davenport has one just like us. He has a little elementary one like we have, and the rest of them, everybody goes into the main service. That's how they choose to do that. That body has the authority. They can do what they want to do with that. But it's not mandatory. They don't have to do it. Amen? That's their decision to make. However, there would be more scripture against a youth department than one verse for it. Amen? There is more scripture that would support not having a youth department. What I mean by youth department is having all these campaigns and then having all these separate classes or junior church, which I just do not believe in junior church. That hardly agrees with the individual soul liberty of a person either, and the fact that every soul is accountable for themselves. See, I don't believe that they need to get attached to something called a youth pastor that doesn't exist in the scriptures. I don't think so. Matter of fact, if your child would want to talk to me, you're going to be there with them, Dad.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Dad will be there with them. What do you mean? Well, I don't meet with children by themselves. I'm not that pervert in Florida. Thank you. Why do you think that happened to those children in Florida? Could anybody please tell me why that man was meeting with children and little girls by himself in that office? This was a Baptist church. This was a Baptist, not the Catholic, this was a Baptist church. It was a Baptist church in Florida. Brother Hildebrand, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, a Baptist church. In Florida, and I can't remember that bum's name, but he's dead now, and Anyway, you know what happened there? A perfect example of being out of God's order. Those children should have been with their fathers, and their fathers should have met with that pastor with them. Amen? Why? Because he's the head. I don't have any authority to talk to your children without you. Amen. I don't. I don't want to either. But it's a pragmatic design. And it causes a lot of damage. When people come in looking for the youth department, it becomes a great time to educate them. See, I used to look at it differently. Now I look at it this way. If you come here and you say, well, where's your youth department? Do you have a junior church? No. You know what I tell them? How about this? Sir, ma'am, we don't see the youth department in the scriptures. We as a church also are very concerned with the common trend of society to split families up, and we believe here in building families and making them stronger and more unified. So we want them together with their families. Now, some people would say, well, I don't like that. I didn't learn it that way. I know. Neither did I. But after I started going back to, you know, this book, the Bible, and looking at it, I found out that's the way God sees it. So it doesn't really matter what somebody taught me. It only matters what he says. That is, if you and I are not too proud to give him the preeminence. Amen? But you know how hard it is to plan a church when you think you have to have all these other programs going on? It's very difficult. I was told you have to have this. You have to have that. You have to try to do this. And you see all these reports, you gotta fill all these out. And you gotta do this. And you gotta do that. And you gotta have this. And you gotta have that. Why? What does any of it have to do with a local New Testament church? Well, pretty much nothing. You know what I like about the Bible? You don't have to have 1,000 people. And you know what else? You don't have to have all of the organizational skills of a business to run a business to pastor a church or to start a church. Now God will send people along in the body to help you and to perfect that body. Amen? But God's design is a simple design. What we've done is make it complex. We've made it harder. We've made the design harder. And guess what? That design, with the expectations and the pragmatic design of it, is hard to duplicate. And then you have scores of people that now think the church has to be this. No, it doesn't. It has to be this. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 1:10, I love that verse. He's speaking to the body of Christ at Corinth. And he's saying, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Well, if four different sermons are going on in the building on Sunday, like the church that I came from, if four different sermons are going on, there's a junior church, there's a children's church, there's this church, there's that church, how are we all speaking the same mind? Unless I tell that man what to preach, and that man what to preach, and that man what to preach, and then, what am I doing? I'm not giving that man to preach liberty. I'm giving him liberties that he shouldn't have, because they should be together when it comes to those junior churches and all those. And if you understand the way I have, and I've been a part of a lot of programs, most of them end up with just trying to bribe a kid to come to church and give them some candies and some suckers and some pizza and some... And believe me, I poured out a lot of money doing all that stuff. And then the only time they show up is when they get that stuff. That's it. And people today don't like it when a preacher says, "Well, listen." Well, because most preachers don't say this, by the way. But when I say, "Listen, if you don't love Jesus enough to come to church, then you just don't love Jesus enough to come to church. That's between you and Him." Yeah. If you don't love the assembly, if you don't love the house of God, if you don't love His book, that's your fault. Amen? I can't give you that. I can't make you love God. Amen? You know why God didn't institute all those other programs? They were not simple, and not every church could do them. We need to have a church in such a way that if we lost every worldly possession, we could just take a Bible and people and preach the Word of God and sing unto the Lord with all our hearts and pray to the Father in heaven. There may come a time when you and I have to go underground with the Church of the Living God. There may come that time. Would you meet in a barn? Would you meet in a garage? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to suffer some things to meet? I can tell you one thing, this mega church movement and many of these big churches that are out there, not just big churches, little churches too, but many of these churches are out there, people would not assemble together if they had to go through some hardship. If they didn't have their big buildings and their big bodies and bucks and buildings, they wouldn't meet together. You and I need to understand that there is the church in the house of so-and-so, and that's how it was. Amen. You and I must prepare for that possibility someday. The Apostle Paul said he learned that whatever state he was in, therewith to be content. Whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content. He knew how to abase, and he knew how to abound. We are not to move forward with the world in the way that it does. We're to keep the church assembly simple and practical and not pragmatic, but based on the Scriptures. I wonder if people would show up in these churches if they didn't have their special music and their special parties and their special bands and everything else together. We are setting ourselves up for discouragement, and pastors don't want to reproduce churches today. And the reason why they don't is because they don't want to go through all that work. Because they want to add everything to it. Instead of training and teaching parents their responsibility, pastors have capitulated with the world and took on its standards. I've seen parents dragged all over the state for sporting events. Christian schools are just as guilty as the public ones in this. They drag their parents all over the place. They're following those kids everywhere to do everything. Then they come to the church and the craze is continued. And we don't teach fathers and mothers their true responsibility. We're failing our people. And we're putting a design in front of them that is hard to duplicate. The Bible says, my people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. We're not educating them on what the church is, what God expects from them, and how simple it should actually be. Many young men get out of Bible school and they don't want to plant a church. They either want to be a youth pastor or they want to take over an established, comfortable church that meets their every need. They don't want to be pioneers. Or a young man is sent out and he believes he can start every program and they go into debt. They put the church into debt because they incorporate it and then they put it in debt. The local church has a simple design that God gave in the scriptures is to fulfill the Great Commission. But today we've tried to accommodate the lost with programs and promotion, giving away prizes to do the work of God. And nowhere in the Bible does it say we're to do such things to reach the lost. But a pastor believes that he can do that and tries, and when the results aren't there, he gets discouraged. God has a simple model in the scriptures. It's found in the Great Commission. We don't need to perfect God's plan or add to it. We just need to follow it. Catering to the lost is against the scripture, but to edify the saints and perfect them so they can reach the lost is biblical. We need to get back to evangelism and reaching the lost, but keep the assembly for the perfecting of the saints as God intended it to be. You and I have no right to complicate God's order by catering our services to a carnal mind or using it as the number one evangelical tool. That's not what God intended it to be. The assembly is for the saved. The lost do come, yes, and they're welcome to be here. But we won't change for them. And we never should. Someone said to me recently, called me on the phone, a pastor, and he said to me that he only had 5 people. He asked me, he goes, well, what do you think constitutes a church? He said, I only had 5 people, only had a dollar in the offering plate that wasn't my tithe that I put in. You know what I said to him? I said, brother, if you've been sent out from a local New Testament church, if you've been ordained and God sent you and you've baptized somebody into that body, then that is a local New Testament church. Throw away all the charts. Don't worry about the numbers. Just keep serving God. He'll add to the church as he sees fit. But don't let yourself get discouraged. Don't look back. Move forward. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged by numbers. And by thinking you're not a real church because 5 people show up. That's right. It's not a business. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You just do what God called you to do and leave the results up to Him. Don't get yourself embarrassed. Don't allow yourself to be embarrassed because of a certain numbers in your church or you don't have a certain number. You just keep trusting God and moving forward. I tried to encourage him. I said, it's not the number, it's the authority from God through His local church that He sent you out from. All power is given unto Him in heaven and earth. The church that runs 5 is just as important to God as the one that runs 5,000. Let's not complicate the model by pragmatic designs or catering to the lost. But keep it simple. Preach the gospel out in the highways and the byways. Bring them. They'll come in. They'll get saved. They'll get baptized. and will do the work of God. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand that we can hinder the work of God. We can cause discouragement in church planning by making too complicated of a model to try to duplicate. Help us, Father, to understand that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be dismissed. God bless you.